As you might have guessed, I think Frank already mentioned, we're here to talk a little bit about our recent trip and share our story of our recent mission trip to Bolivia. And obviously we're doing something a little different this time, a little bit more than we normally do. Instead of just doing a little quick something, we're doing the whole lesson this morning. And part of that is to help you just raise awareness for our missions and for the work that we're doing in Bolivia. But also, this time I want to go a little deeper. I want to take a little time and provide a context behind why we go to Bolivia, particularly why and how we do our mission. And so, and from that, I'm hoping that you will realize we're all called to mission, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And so, if we're all called to mission, I'm hoping by looking at this context, that will help give you some new tools, some new perception about how you could do missions, whether it's right here in this community or halfway around the world in Bolivia. So, before we start, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity this morning. Thank you for this time that we've had to come and worship you, Lord. And Lord, you are so great. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we had to go and travel to Bolivia, Lord, to see firsthand what you're doing through Food for the Hungry and through Mountain Christian, Lord, and thank you for letting us be a part of that, Lord. Open our minds, Lord, this morning as we consider discipleship and relationship, Lord, this morning, and help us to maybe improve some of the ways that we go about discipleship, Lord. Be with us this morning as we open your scripture. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so first off, let's talk a little bit just about the trip itself. Start with kind of the logistics. And so for those who might be a little new, our work in Bolivia, we're partnering with an organization called Food for the Hungry. They're a Christian humanitarian aid and global development organization to help bring Christ. Their real focus is on to end extreme poverty and hunger. And so we've been partnered with Food for the Hungry for a number of years, 15 years or better, and what they've done is actually partner us with a community, a barrio in Sucre, Bolivia, called Villa Margarita. And so we've been working with this this community for a number of years, and the primary purpose of our trip, as always, is basically to go down there, see firsthand what's going on, see how things are changing, see how God is moving, see some of the challenges that they're facing, but also, very importantly, to help encourage the staff and the community, and most importantly, to build relationships while we're down there. And so our trip was pretty short. We left on a Saturday, got back the following Sunday. We spent 9 days on this trip, and in fact, we lost a few days because of some issues with the flights, but nevertheless, we had 6-7 days in country with the community. And so there were 9 of us that traveled down, 3 from Mountain Christian, myself, Chris Matthews, and Joseph Treen, also known as Joshua, as you'll hear a story in a moment. We also had 6 associated with Juntos, and Juntos is one of the other ministries that we work with right here in Albuquerque. Their focus is on to help leadership, youth development and leadership development in the Albuquerque International District. So Marvin Proctor was one of those. Marvin, you might remember, he was a long-term member here. He was, until they moved into town fairly recently, Marvin was instrumental in helping us set up this relationship with Food for the Hungry and also connect us with Juntos. Also, Lauren Jenkins, who is the director of FH, went on the trip with us. And then we also had 4 student leaders, Viviana Olivas, Kim Silva, Alexis Anaya, and Francine Anderson. And you'll get to hear from many of these about the impact that this had on them and how they saw God move. And this partnership here between MCC and Juntos with going to Bolivia has been a really cool thing. We've been doing it for the last 2 or 3 years. It's an opportunity for us to really build relationship between MCC and Juntos, and then also really to build into the lives of some of the student leaders that are part of Juntos. And I'll just tell you, it's a really great thing to see their perspective, their energy, their love for Christ, and to be part of that in this context of Bolivia. So What did we do while we were down there? Well, a picture's worth a thousand words. We have a quick video that we'd like to share with you that'll let you see a little bit of what we did.
Bienvenidos aquí a Sucre.
So welcome to Sucre once again.
Estamos muy contentos.
So we started off with a warm welcome when we arrived. Spent a lot of time with the school, interacting with the children, just having fun and playing with them, also doing Bible studies with them.
Mi nombre es Ulises. Mi sueño es ser profesor de educación física.
Mi nombre es Daniel Almendras Díaz y mi sueño es ser veterinario.
We also had a chance to meet with our sponsor children while we were there, pray with them, just get to know them and share our lives. We also ate with them. We also had a lot of time to meet with the staff and work with them and encourage them.
And this makes FH
y Cristianos de la Montaña
and Monte Christian Church
caminen.
We also had a chance to go and visit some of the water projects that they've been working on.
With the most vulnerable families.
Gracias por visitarnos.
So thank you for visiting.
The truth is, when we are facing difficult situations that
we also had multiple opportunities to worship with them.
One of the best things we can do is to trust God.
Y lo mejor que podemos hacer cuando estamos atravesando por situaciones difíciles es confiar en Dios.
We also had the opportunity to encourage some of the entrepreneurs that FH is helping develop businesses and pull themselves out of poverty. Ate again. Just had a lot of fun in a lot of different ways. So that gives you a little idea of what we were doing while we were down there. Now, I want to turn our attention a little bit to the context, right? Why were we down there? What were we doing and how were we doing it? And it really all starts with this idea that we're all called to mission. We've all read in Matthew, the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We see elsewhere in the New Testament, all four Gospels have this same command to go out and spread the word. In fact, this was the last thing Jesus commanded his apostles when he was with them, recorded in all four Gospels. This underscores how important this was, this command. We're all commanded to missions. And what are we commanded to? Discipleship, discipling. We are called to make disciples. What are disciples? Those are followers of Christ. And I'll argue that discipleship is about relationship. You have to have relationship to have discipleship. Consider that without trust, without the other person really knowing that you have their best interest in mind, they're not going to let you close enough to have an influence on them for Christ. That's what discipling is having an influence on another for Christ. And relationship building, that's what FH is all about. Food for the Hunger is all about, is about relationship. Did you see all of those pictures? What did you see in those pictures? You saw a lot of laughing and smiling and spending time together. You saw lots of hugging, right? It's about relationship, and you see that relationship when we were together. And, you know, this is really different than a lot of mission agencies, especially any kind of secular aid organization. This is very different. It's this relationship paradigm. And, you know, we've learned, and we see this all too often, that, you know, a group from the United States will kind of swoop into some small community, and maybe they're doing some kind of VBS or putting in a water well or you know, building a school or, you know, trying to help pulling teeth or something as a dentist, right? Which is all great to be doing. But if it doesn't come along with relationship, if you don't connect with the community, you're missing the full potential of what that visit could be. And in fact, very often these well, you know, meaning people, as we swoop in, right, we've got the solution. And what we're doing is we're kind of telling them that you're needy, you're helpless, and we have to come here and help you. And so that's something we have to watch out for, and that's why relationship is so important. And so this was kind of part of the aha moment for me in this trip. Not the importance of relationship, I always understood that, but, you know, I was kind of always of the idea that, you know, I'm coming in, I'm only there a week, I can't build relationships, so I'll let the missionaries that I'm working with work on the relationship. I have important things to do. I'm going to spend all this money and this time. I'm going to accomplish something. And as a hydrologist, for me, that was putting in a well. I had to give a well, you know, and have something that I leave behind. And, you know, this was the first time that I finally stopped and realized, hey, relationship is more than enough. In fact, relationship is so important. And that in a week is enough time. I saw for the first time what it meant to the FH staff just to have us there, right? To have us be able to kind of walk in their shoes for a day or for a week, to see the challenges that they face, to see how God is moving in the community. It was amazing. But more than that, I got to encourage them myself. I got to get excited about and celebrate the work that they're doing. And I guess it really came home to me at the end of the trip, as we were the very last day. We always get together, a big banquet, you know, and we share gifts and our stories, and we laugh, and we worship, and we eat together, and then we started crying, and we were all crying, and I mean lots of crying, and I'm going, how can this happen? We were only there a few days, and I mean, the other thing is, you know, Food for the Hungry, they have groups, different churches through every month or so, right? How could we have that kind of relationship in such a short time? And it's the Spirit. I also saw it mattering to the community, not the fact that we were bringing anything with us, but just meeting with our sponsored children, how much that meant to them. They could put a face to the sponsor that they had seen, that they could actually kind of just get to know us, and that we cared enough to come and meet them in their own home and eat with them. So, it's about relationship. FH is about relationship, but ultimately, the goal goes beyond that. The goal is discipleship, right? We want to make followers of Jesus Christ. And FH views discipling as the work of restoring impoverished relationships. And that's on your outline there. It's the first one. Discipling is the work of restoring impoverished relationships. So you might think, you know, if I say poverty, what comes to mind? What's that first thought that comes to mind? Well, you think in terms of physical, right? It's the lack of food. It's a lack of access to clean water. Maybe it's not access to education. You know, they lack resources, right? It's usually what we think of first. But we're beginning to learn that, you know, poverty is so much more than that. In fact, there's been a lot of biblical scholarly work on this subject to try and improve the way we go about discipling. And works like When Helping Hurts and Walking with the Poor, a couple of books that have been really transforming the way we look at poverty and realizing that poverty is relationships that just don't work. And when viewed through this lens of poverty, of relationship, we realize that there's really four basic relationships that have been severed. The first being the spiritual relationship, that is a relationship between man and God. The second is social relationship, right? The relationship between man and others. Then the third being the physical relationship, right? And that man and creation, that's what we normally think about when we think about poverty. And then the fourth is the psychological relationship, the relationship between man and himself, the way I look at myself and value myself. And so in the garden, before the fall, we see that God established these relationships, and he had a very particular intention about how those relationships would work. But then when the fall occurred, sin came into the world, we see these relationships severed and broken, and they're no longer functioning the way God created them and intended them. But fortunately, God had a plan. God always has a plan. And out of his great love, he became intimately involved in trying to reestablish those relationships by sending his own son, Jesus Christ. Not only did the blood of Jesus reconcile us to that relationship with God and make that relationship again possible, but it also reconciled all the other relationships in our life. And we read that in Colossians 1, verses 19 and 20. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, that being Jesus Christ, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So through Jesus Christ, all of these relationships can be reconciled once again. Okay, so that's kind of the framework that we're working in. And that all of our missions, we try to, this idea of discipleship, right? We're all called to discipleship. That discipleship is making relationships. And in fact, real discipleship is about helping to reform those impoverished relationships that have been broken because of the fall. And so now what I want to do is go through each of those four key relationships. And what I want to do is think a little bit about what that relationship looked like before the fall, then what it looked like after the fall. And then also want to look at Jesus Christ as our chief discipler, right? And how did he address these kinds of relational issues in his ministry? And then finally, and I think you'll find most interesting, is we want to give some real concrete examples of how we actually saw God helping to reconcile some of these relationships, both in our own hearts, but also in the hearts and lives of those in Bolivia. And so you'll get to hear several examples of how we saw God working while we were there. So the first of those relationships I want to talk about, and here you might turn to Genesis chapter 1. We'll be chapter 1, 2, and 3. We'll be flipping kind of back and forth through these to look at before and after the fall. And so what was that relationship between God and man? That's, the second set of boxes there on your outline. So the relationship between God and man we want to look at first. And I want to think a little bit about here, what did that relationship look like before the fall? And so in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, it gives us a little view of what it looked like. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and of the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. So we see here this very special relationship. God created man in his own image. And then if we drop down to chapter 2, verse 7, then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. We see God used his own hands to form man and breathe life into him. So we see that man has a position in creation that nothing else shares with God. That is, man and God have a very, very special relationship, very unique relationship. But we see this severed after the fall. Genesis 3, verse 6. Basically, this is the kind of the actual fall, the sin itself. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. So we see here what? We see disobedience. We see man now disobeying God, breaking that relationship with man. We see then in verse 10 some of the results that it begins happening. Verse 10 of chapter 3. And then he said, this is man, Adam, responding to God's question. I heard the sound of thee in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. So here we see man being afraid of God. This is not the same relationship that we had. Man is now afraid of God. And then in verse chapter 3, verse 24, then he drove man out. He drove man out of the garden, broke this very personal, very close relationship with man. It was over. And so we see that bond broken. Then how do we see Jesus Christ as his chief discipler? How do we see him reconciling these relationships? Well, first, we've already mentioned that it is through Jesus Christ, his blood paved the way to a renewed relationship with God. We saw that in Colossians 1. He also is just part of his ministry, all of his teachings, right? His teachings were so much focused on God. God sent him and to return the hearts of man to God. We see this very simply in Matthew 22:37, where Jesus says the greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And so we see this was such a tenet of Jesus' teaching. So how did we actually see God at work? God reconciling this relationship between man and God, man in himself. And so we're going to hear a couple of examples from our trip, both of how God worked in our own hearts as well as how God worked in the hearts of others in the community. So, Joseph, you want to give us your story?
So during the trip, my relationship with God grew quite a lot. Most of our time was spent dedicated to him and just focused on him and his work without any distractions of school or whatever, you know, stuff here. And so I was able to really focus on him, especially in prayer. I was able to spend all those moments that I would normally be spending busy with something else, I would pray to him, and I was able to just make a deeper connection with him than I'm normally able to. And my faith was also grown quite a lot as I had to trust in him to make sure our planes went when they were supposed to, or that we got on our planes at all, or that various other things worked out the way they were supposed to. Even before the trip started, I was scared because when I looked at my ticket, it had me as Joshua Treen instead of Joseph Treen, and I was worried that this mistake would stop me from even being able to get on the plane. But we were able to get that sorted out to where I would be able to go, but I'd have to leave several hours earlier and go on a different plane than everyone else. And that was scary to me because I'd never flown before, and I'd only heard bad stories about airports, and I was really worried about having to navigate that by myself, but the Lord intervened, and he allowed me to get on the same flight as everyone else, and he guided us through as other chaos happened with flights and other stuff, but he allowed us to get there safely, and even made good come out of what seemed like bad. And I was also greatly encouraged in my relationship with God by seeing the examples of the others, the relationships that I saw building up with my teammates in God, and just the godly way everyone was interacting with each other, both the teammates and the Food for the Hungry people and the Project Summa, who we also worked with. And so just their relationships with God and their lovingness was helpful to my relationship. I know that I've come home, even though I have to focus on other things and can't be dedicated solely to God, I have much more want to spend more time with him, and I find more ways, whereas I cut out some of those other distractions that I can to focus on him more. And I continue to have more faith, trusting in him to make sure things work after seeing the miracles he worked on the trip. And I was also, by the examples of everyone else I saw, the teammates and the Food for the Hungry People and the Project Summit people, I'm inspired more to serve God and glorify Him.
Indeed, we really saw Joseph bloom and the confidence grow as he put his faith more in Christ. We also have Viviana, one of the leaders from Juntos. She's going to give us her story of how she saw God really moving.
Prior to the trip, I remember feeling so anxious because I usually have a lot going on in my life. I would hear wonderful stories when talking to Marv and others about Bolivia and how God showed up and changed their lives. My biggest fear was not being able to experience God fully and live life-changing moments like the others. I thought I had a good relationship with God prior to this trip, but failed to realize I always had too much going on in my life or needed to be more in control, which prevented me to feel God close. So even though getting to Bolivia was a long process, I felt God's presence every step of the way as my prayers were being answered. Once arriving to Bolivia and seeing how much these wonderful people struggle in so many ways, but their faith is unshakable, made me feel convicted as they take day by day inviting God in. That's when I realized that going on a missions trip not only changes you and your relationship with God, but the wonderful people from HR and other organizations like Project Summa feel appreciated when you make the sacrifice out of your regular schedules and responsibilities to meet them where they are and allow God in to take the wheel. Thank you.
Yeah, we really saw it with Viviana, poor thing. She really struggled with altitude sickness so much of the time, but she never sat out. She never complained. She really worked through it and, I mean, was just a beautiful example of servitude throughout the whole time. So we're really thankful for all of these that took part in our trip. So now let's think about this second relationship. The relationship between man and others, this social relationship. And so what did that relationship look like before the fall? Well, we get it really a view of it in terms of the marriage relationship, right? In chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." We see God recognizing that we as humans have this need for companionship. And then he designed someone very specific for Adam, a helpmate suitable specifically for him. And then verse 24, "For this cause man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." This leaving and cleaving, this tight, really beautiful relationship we see between man and his wife. They're becoming one flesh. This is the kind of relationship we really strive and desire for, right? But it was broken in the fall. We see in Genesis 3:17, I'm sorry, 3:12, and this was Adam responding to God's question about, "Did you eat of the fruit?" And then the man said, "The woman whom you gave us to be with me, she gave me from the fruit of the tree, and I ate." So you kind of see the honeymoon's over, right? He's, you know, blaming, pointing at her. It's all her fault, right? And then on down in verse 16, where God is prescribing the curse on man broadly, "To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." You see this uneven yoking between the relationship and the understanding of what that relationship should be between man and woman is broken. And what do we see as Jesus Christ as our chief discipler? How did he handle this? How did he address this man-to-man relationship in his ministry? Well, we see him always stressing the need for servitude, right? To be the servant of all, first shall be last. And then also in Matthew 22:39, again, the second most important commandment he gave us, right, is to love your neighbor as yourself. So this idea of this relationship and reconciling the relationship is so important between man and man. And Jesus helped show us the way to that. We got to see some of that firsthand in our time in Bolivia, God reconciling the relationship among the communities. And Alexis will, again, another one of the student leaders from Juntos, will give us his story from Bolivia.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Alexis. I go by Alex. And it was really a blessing to be able to go to Bolivia on a mission trip, especially since it's a calling to us to spread the word to the nations. So if you ever get a chance, I encourage you to go, because it really changes your life. It lets you see where other countries are at and how you're able to help them. And through God, we're all one, because he died on the cross for us. So we should all be willing to serve each other. We even see God wash people's feet, and that just shows how he was just humble enough to do that. So we're really no one better than him, so we should follow him. And well, again, you've heard a lot about FH, Food for the Hungry. They were really a blessing, because as soon as we got there, they took care of everything for us, and we didn't really have to worry about anything. More as like when you go on vacation, you have to worry about where you're booking, what times you have to go to where you booked at. Here, all that's taken care of, and they really just guide you. You're like on a vacation where you get peace. If you want a peaceful trip, I encourage you to go to Bolivia or any missions trip, really, because like I mentioned, it is a calling to go and spread the word of God.
And we really saw him showing that spirit of servitude. We had just gotten there. We actually got all separated, but Alexis had been out running around with the kids playing soccer with them, and they're pretty good soccer players there. I know Alexis is too, but he got sick because he was out there playing so hard with them. So again, just this whole idea of servitude, and again, working to correct that relationship between man. So our next relationship is the relationship between man and creation. This is what we normally think about when we think about poverty, right? It's that relationship in terms of our relationship with creation. And what did that look like before the fall? Over in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over it, the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. So here we see that God created all the resources man would need to flourish. Also, God gave him good work, right? Work to be a steward of the creation that he had made. So God gave man work. He gave him the resources to be fruitful and to multiply. This was God's relationship between man and creation. But after the fall, what did it look like? Well, there's a stark difference, as we see in 3:17, starting a little lower there in the verse. Cursed is the ground because of you. In the toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. And you shall eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and dust you shall return. And so we see a very different picture here. The toil, the sweat, the thorns, the thistles that we're going to have to deal with now. The work isn't as enjoyable as it was before the fall. Man and nature are a little out of sync now compared to what they were before the fall. We see, again, this relationship being broken. And Jesus as our chief discipler, what do we see him? We see him doing, again, ministering to those who are in need, We see him healing the sick, driving out demons. We also see him feeding those who are hungry. So we see Jesus just as well meeting the physical needs of the people that he came to serve. And so we also saw God at work in many different ways while we were there in Bolivia. We saw God reconciling these broken relationships between man and creation. And Chris Matthews from here at MCC will give us her story of what she saw firsthand. And we have pictures for Chris.
Good morning. What an amazing adventure this was, again, this year, going to Bolivia. I was used to seeing worse desert than we have here. It was dirt and desert and rocks, and we landed and started out from the airport, and it's all green. The Lord sent rain this year, and they're growing crops, and so we have the relationship between man and the earth coming back, and God promised he would give us all the plants and that to be able to take care of ourselves. This is a picture of our little girl on the right. That's Diana, and you may remember her name from Bible school last summer. She was going deaf. As I don't know, some disease she has. And so we were asked through FH, her aunt actually asked us through FH if we could help get her a hearing aid. And so we got together, raised a bunch of money, and I think surpassed our goal. And so now she has the hearing aid, she's doing well in school, and this is her friend who helped her when she couldn't hear all through school. She sat with her and she wrote things out for her. It was so great. But this is one little gal who demonstrates that mama's out planting or digging potatoes or something in the countryside. Dad had died, and so through the aunt and through FH, we were able to help her get back to this place of function. We also had, I wanted to just read a quote that we had from a FH Bolivia staff member. It's not about the team or food for the hungry. It's about God and the community. And we have come to love the people in this community. I've been there several times now, and the love comes out of them. Every one of the kids at the airport came up to our team, and I didn't know who they were, and they're, hello, Christy, welcome, you know, and hugs and everything. But okay, it's going to be a good trip. Okay, next one. This is an amazing story. Vince has talked about the water project, and down that valley, we saw the white pipe in the earlier video. This is a fellow who lives on top of that ridge, and he's a mason, and he put on for us how he used to have to carry water up from the river. I was showing some pictures to the Mallet kids who were helping me the other day. And I said, and that white pipe you saw, that's not the river down there. The river is yonder somewhere where they used to have to go get, and I don't know how much water that holds, but that is heavy, heavy. And to climb back up that mountain just for that much water. And now he has water piped to his house. He's a mason, so he has need of water. There's a good picture of almost we cut off the head of the dragon, but he built this, it's an oven outside. He's very creative. And over here on this side, we didn't quite get the whole thing, is a picture of a big condor made out of cement. He fashioned that as well. He also, with the help of the water that the Lord provided through FH, a massive garden and flowers everywhere. And you saw some of those in the first video too. Flowers, and he's getting everybody to take flowers. And corn, and I mean, his whole place is just a showplace of beauty. And it's a testimony to the creativity that God gives a bunch of people once they have the ability and the resources to do this. This is my little girl on this side. Marilise, she's one of the gals that I sponsor there. Her mom is a great cook, too. We talked about the cooking. And her middle sister, and this is her youngest sister that I want to ask prayer for, Nayeli. Nayeli is 6 years old. She has already had 6 surgeries on her eyes. She has eye cancer. And so I would like to ask prayer for her so that all of this ability there, now that the Lord has brought together through FH and through letting our team know about this, to get this relationship with creation back together. Vincent, I may have to cut you off.
Indeed, and FH is working so many different ways. These are just a couple of the stories, ways FH is helping. And you might remember from the pictures, those real vibrant purple flowers, those were from that area and from that gardener. So very beautiful. So we see Christ at work, God at work, reconciling that relationship between man and creation. And so the final relationship, that's the relationship between man and self, how we view ourself. And so what did that relationship look like before the fall? Again, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And so here we see God, again, this special relationship. We were created as the image bearers of God. We were created with inherent dignity and worth. And so that's the way God viewed us and the way God wants us to view ourselves, that we have worth because we were created by God, created specifically by God to bear his image. But we can see how the creation corrupted that view. If we look in chapter 3, Genesis 3, 5, and this is really Satan trying to tempt the woman. For God knows that in the day that you eat, that your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. Here planting this idea, this wrong conception of who we are, is that we are our own gods. And that's what, Satan was trying to plant this idea. But then what really happened? What was the result? Well, in 3:7 we see, then the eyes of both of them, Adam and Eve, were opened, just like Satan said, but that they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves loin coverings. What happened? They realized shame for the first time, right? Shame because of their sin. And so that was really the result. And so we see how, this broken relationship with the way we view ourselves is impoverishing to people. But Christ, our chief discipler, what did we see from him? We see how he went to the most needy in the community, right? His ministry was with the poor, it was with the sinners, it was with the tax collectors, right? And that's what he said, I come to seek the lost, right? Him, by doing that, showed their worth, their value in God's eyes. And so we see that very clearly in Christ's ministry to us. So what is our story? What story did we see? How did we see God reconciling these broken relationships between us and our own perception of who we are? Here we'll have Kim Silva, again, one of our youth leaders at Juntos, and her story.
Hello. If there's a video, yeah. So in this video, we went to visit the orphanage, and the kids are singing down, up, outside, inside, how happy am I, because Christ has saved me and he has cleaned me inside my heart. So because these kids are in the orphanage, there's like so many reasons that they could be in there because of how much poverty they're surrounded with. There's a lot of abandonment from fathers of their families in Bolivia, and mothers having to go work in sexual exploitation and have to go to like their capital, and just like death and a bunch of stuff that just surrounds them. And if you could imagine how that makes them feel about themselves. But FH is really telling these kids they're worth something and they could be something. In the other videos, we see how whenever we went to the school, they did a project where they got a picture of the kid and they asked them what they wanted to be, and then they used AI to make the kids like kind of grow up a little bit and have them in the uniform of that profession. And so these kids know that they have a purpose and God has a purpose for them as well. So another thing that we had seen whenever we went to Project Suma was a lot of women and kind of in the sexual exploitation, and men going there because it was like a Friday night, and we were there doing a prayer walk, and kind of how Vince had talked about just kind of living in shame. And the next day we saw these women, and we went to go see the entrepreneurships they had and their own business, and just like that, they have a purpose, and they could, FH also showed all the women the entrepreneurships of how they can have a business, they could make clothes, they could bake, they could cook, they could have their own restaurant. So there's just so many purpose that FH is putting into these women and changing the way that they see themselves and the children as well. So, yeah.
Francine, we also have Francine Anderson, who's also one of the youth leaders at Juntos.
Hi, guys. Okay, so this trip taught me a lot about myself. When I first got back, I wanted to just soak it in as much as I could because I learned so much during the trip, and I was like, how do I process everything that I learned and how do I implement it into my life? So I looked at myself and I asked myself the question, where am I not allowing God to have full control? And what parts of my life am I taking for granted, like the blessings that I have? And through this reflection, I started to realize how lukewarm I had become. But that was like the easy part. The hardest part is understanding how to actually change that and how to become just fully immersed in God's love and to have the Holy Spirit living through me. And I found that I've always been like a busy person and that I would make myself busy with things that weren't necessarily fulfilling my life. And things that were draining instead. So I found there was different kinds of busy, and the good kind of busy is fulfilling. So through FH, I saw the staff and how passionate they were about everything they did and the communities that they were helping and the kids they were helping and the families, and just how they did everything with a smile on their face, and they just were very passionate about bringing God into these people's lives. So I decided that that's just something that really inspired me, and I hope I can take into my everyday life here just living in Albuquerque, because there's still a lot we can do here. So yeah, I'm incredibly grateful for the group that we got to go with, and I learned so much from you guys too, and you guys really inspired me with my walk in my faith as well. So thank you. It was a great opportunity. So yeah.
It was really great to see firsthand Francine and Kim, but really the whole team. And, you know, you see all those pictures of them hugging and making time for the kids there in the community and for the FH staff. I mean, it really showed that we cared about them. And, I mean, what a beautiful way that they showed that, and really proud of the team that we took down there. So there you have it, the four relationships. We see that we're all called to discipleship. That discipleship is bringing, making followers of Jesus Christ. We have to do that by developing relationships. But, you know, kind of realizing that now we kind of see poverty through the lens of these broken relationships, right? And part of our discipling is helping to restore these impoverished relationships. And that's, you know, working with FH, and really all of our mission efforts are around that effort. And we saw some really wonderful examples of how we see God restoring those relationships in the community, even in our own hearts, through the work that we've been doing. And so hopefully you have some new perspectives, some new tools that you can use when you're discipling, as you've been called to, as we've all been called to. And whether you choose to do it here or whether abroad, we hope you'll consider helping some with Bolivia, and that you might put some of that discipling energy into Bolivia. And there's three ways that you can get involved starting today. The first is with prayer, and I mean that very sincerely. Prayer is the most powerful thing that you can do, is praying for the folks in Bolivia and for FH. And there's prayer points in your bulletin, also in the link that was sent to you. That's a place for you to start praying for these people. Also, the second thing you could do is sign up to sponsor a child. Or if you already have one, sponsor another one. I think they're like $38 or something like that a month. And we'll have a little booth out here in the foyer that you can learn more about that. And what a great way to develop a relationship with someone in Peru. And then the third way is already start planning to go to Bolivia, right? And probably about the same time next year, or sometime around March. But you'll start hearing about that in August or September time frame to start planning on that. Okay? So with that, we'll end. If you want to stand, and I will close us in prayer. Dear Lord in heaven, thank you again, Lord, for this opportunity to come and worship you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing in Bolivia. Lord, thank you for this reminder of our call to mission to be disciplers, Lord, whether it's in a faraway place or right here at home, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for your son who you've sent to help begin reconciling these broken relationships because of sin, Lord. Be with us, Lord, as we go forward, and help us to be a strong discipler for you. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.